Welcome to Healthy Living with Swami and Divya. My name is Swaminathan Pillai, and I am with my colleague, Dr. Divya Sasavargi. We are going to introduce you to a system of healthcare practice, which is Ayurveda. Ayurveda is a medical practice which is of Indian origin. It is 5 millennia old. I'm a journalist, and Dr. Divya Sasavargi is a practicing doctor. And she will tell you what Ayurveda is and what you can get from it.
Hello, myself Dr. Divya. Here I would like to discuss with you about Ayurveda, an ancient science which has its origin from India. It's a science of life and longevity. Has its roots in dating back more than 5,000 years. Ayurveda encompasses both ancient wisdom and practical science to create the world's oldest and most comprehensive system of healthcare. The objective of this science is not to treat disease, but to address the individual person, bringing him or her back to their unique state of balance.
Hello, listeners. We are ready to answer your questions. When we are live on the show, and even after that, you can contact us. So Divya says that Ayurveda is a science of health. Ayurveda, in fact, is a Sanskrit word which means science of health, isn't it?
Yes. Ayu means life or longevity, and Veda means knowledge about how to lead a life, how to achieve longevity.
Ayurveda involves a lot of things, such as taking internal and external medicine, then dietary restrictions, lifestyle restrictions, prayer, meditation, and all these. Prayer and meditation are there because in India, all these knowledge in different branches of human wisdom. It is deeply rooted in Hindu philosophy. And of course, you can also see the influence of Buddhist philosophy from the 6th century onwards, 6th century BC onwards. However, in the modern world, people are more interested in the medical matters and in healthcare aspects of Ayurveda. And for that reason, necessity takes the back seat. So Divya will explain more about that.
Yes, Swami, what you said is right. If we look at Ayurveda carefully, we can see that it's not a system of medicine, but a form of treatment. Or we can be precise that it's a set of healing activities. Ayurveda is not merely a medical system aimed at the treatment of disease, but a healthy and natural way of living and of developing one's highest potential of life. Ayurveda begins with the right lifestyle, including daily and seasonal health regimens, designed for each individual based upon their nature, constitution, environment, and life circumstances.
Right. Again, Ayurveda has some important features. One is that Ayurvedic medicines were effective then. They are effective today, and they will be effective as long as life exists on the planet. Why is it like that? Dr. Divya will explain the secret behind that.
Ayurveda is not just health. They cover the whole life of a human. It's a system of medicine that requires an understanding of how the body works. It has a system of diagnosis. It has a treatment method of all kinds, including diet, herbs, and clinical procedures. It's a time-tested medical system. So we can say that it has survived the test of time, and it will survive.
Right. Another important aspect of Ayurveda is that diseases do not become drug-resistant when you use Ayurvedic medicine. This is another important and interesting thing you would like to know. And here is Vidya with her explanation to that.
Yeah. Ayurveda helps an individual to live in harmony, both with the nature and with one's own nature. And this is achieved through Ayurvedic treatment. It's because we think that Ayurveda works on the principle of three doshas. Three doshas means the three humors of the body. The principle of three doshas. Knowing one's own dosha type helps one in adapting with the nature or helps one to live in harmony with the nature. This is the basic principle of which Ayurveda works. With the three doshas, we can explain the biology, the physiology, and even the pathology of the human body.
Western medicine, you know, is based on evidence. When we speak to people about Ayurveda in the Western world, they will ask you what kind of evidence we can send to prove that we are right, or we are taking the right thing to them. So what can we say about that? How can we prove to the world? You're going to explain how what kind of evidence you can get from us when we speak about Ayurveda as a science. Obviously, science is a systematized body of knowledge based on evidence. Right? And again, Ayurveda has its own way of finding out a disease and treating it with an explanation how it works on individuals. You follow the dosha theory or the constitutional defects of the human body, isn't it?
Yes.
So how do we explain diseases and treatment in relation to this theory?
Yes, I've told you about the principle of three doshas, and I told you that even the biology, the physiology, and even the physiology of the human body can be explained with the three doshas. According to Ayurveda, in a normal body, these three doshas are in a balanced state. Okay, these three doshas are Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Vata represents the moon. It's a Sanskrit word. It means and it represents moon. That means what all movements are there have that a body can be represented of God. Let's come to Pitta. Pitta means the fire. Fire helps in transit. Here we can say that what all chemical reactions or the enzymatic actions that are happening inside the body are as a pitta. And again, the next one is the kapha or the water or the food, the matter, the physical matter inside the body can be represented as a kapha. To take a small example, and you know, in this universe, each and every substance in the universe can be explained on the basis of the three doshas. For example, take an example of a car. So in that, the movement of the car is represented by the water. The fuel or the energy that you give for its work is called the pitta. And structure of the car is called, we can repress it as this, we can relate it to kapha. So these three components should be in a balance too. If any of these three components should be able that can speak to the cause or can lead to. For example, I told you that the vata component of a car is its movement. If something happens to the structure that helps the movement, the car won't work. Same like that, the pitta component. If you don't give sufficient fuel to a car, it won't be able to work or it won't be able to move. And again, the structure. So we can say that these things, the same like that, a human body can be represented with these components. What all movements that are happening inside the body can be represented with the fire element, the transformation that's happening inside can be represented with the pitta. can say that because of this, or that because of that, right? So this is not going to change. And this will remain the same for everyone. But the level of vata will be different from different people. Same like I gave you the example of a car. Same like that we gave a common name car, but we have different types of cars. For example, we have a sports car, we have a luxury. The structure of a luxury car differs from the structure of a sports car, right? The same like that the vata tapas, the speed of a sports car is different from that of a luxury car, right? So the same like that is for each individual. These components will vary from each in each individual. So we consider for an individual what is normal for them. The modern science, what they do is that they try to find what is normal among a group. But Ayurveda tries to find that in an individual, for that individual, what is normal for them.
Right. Modern medicine or allopathic medicine have worked wonders. It is still working wonders. At the same time, it is not an answer to everything. For this reason, many people, even in the Western world, are skeptical. So they look at other branches of medicine for healing. And that is why Ayurveda is now becoming popular everywhere, slowly but steadily. Why is it that the mainstream medicine or modern medicine is unable to satisfy human needs or our aspirations? And this is what GBI is going to explain.
The modern system of medicine is not able to meet the needs of educated society. It's because of the society. What it is. For example, if we are having a complaint like a visit our cat, it's very common. And old. So many of the modern medicines that we hear is recently called intermediate and nuclear supplements. But in Ayurvedic treatment, we try to bring back the balance. We always try to work to bring back the balance of three books. And this balance is brought to the body by the method of treatment called panchkarma, or the method of detoxifying the body, rejuvenating the body by the method of detoxifying. Once we are detoxifying the body, the cells will become young and they are able to regenerate. We are not trying to kill any microorganisms there. We are enhancing the self-healing mechanism of the body. We are helping the body itself to heal itself or itself. So it is having no side effects. It's having only effects. And that outset will also be. So obviously people who are the educated society, they know that it is a modern medicine. They're having a lot of side effects. Will opt for a system with a safe and free effect.
Yes, we are very honest when we say that Ayurveda is free from side effects. So we say that it is almost completely free from side effects because even from common food materials or flowers, dust and other things, people get allergic reactions. The one in millions, perhaps, we develop some adverse reaction against diabetic medicine. But am I not right, Dr. Vidya? Right? So that is very, very rare. And again, you Americans are more aware. We Indians, Vidya or I, have never ever come across anyone. But I have when I was living in the UK. That people who were consuming some medicines, I mean, women who were consuming a medicine called thalidomide, had given birth to children with a lot of abnormalities. And many thalidomide victims are still living in silent agony. This medicine was very popular in the 1950s, late 1950s and early 1960s. In the same way, many modern medicines are withdrawn. For example, there was a treatment for gastric problems, gastric bruxism, which is drug therapy. One of the medicines was using, what was its name? Do you remember that? Let me slide. It's now banned in the UK and in the US, to the best of my knowledge. And I think
In India too, yes.
It is banned. But until recently, when I was in the UK, interestingly, even in 2000, in the year 2000, I happened to take this medicine. Right? So that is how it is happening in Western medicine. In Ayurveda, that has been happening. Many of these medicines were discovered 5,000 years or so ago. And these medicines are still effective, as we were said to you earlier.
Yes, because the objective of Ayurveda is not to treat disease, but to address the individual person and bring him or her back to their unique state of balance. That's what Ayurveda is trying to do. We don't want to treat any microorganism. Things like that, as we told about the gastric ulcer, the possibility to say that head bacteria has fallow it. Is the factor for that?
Helicobacter.
Yes, of course. So, many of the samples that they take from the gastric samples, they say that they are infected with Helicobacter. But, you know, what H. pylori bacteria? But the thing is that, you know, H. pylori bacteria grows. It never grows in the normal gastric line. It grows in the lining which is defect. So we have to rectify the defect of the internal gastric line. Right? So once it is rectified, then our whole cycle system is well and it's perfect, function perfect. And again, for that, we have to take care of the diet itself. The diet and the medicine. Okay, it'll work.
Although I read this to you, I hope our listeners are able to understand what we say. And of course, in our subsequent programs, we will be explaining different aspects of Ayurveda. For example, it has preventive properties, then diagnostic properties, rejuvenate properties, cosmetic properties, and curative properties as well. So there are all these things, but nothing is new to Ayurveda. But you may say that. There are a lot of names of diseases, for example, Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease got the name because of the British doctor James Parkinson, who discovered this disease in 1870. But interestingly, if you look at, after listening to our program, if you look at the internet and try to get some information about Ayurvedic treatment for Parkinson's disease, you will be amazed to get people's testimony how they were able to get cure by following Ayurvedic treatment. But again, today we'll elaborate on Parkinson's disease and the treatment of Ayurveda for that in order to give you
Yes, for so Parkinson's disease, in mostly Ayurveda we go with our detoxification therapy. As I told you, this is a key treatment that we see in Ayurveda, the sponge current therapy. In that, we break it on 21 days medication. So 21 days, initially starting with an abhyanga, as a full body massage. And the oil what we are using will be nourishing image. Because we know that in Parkinson's disease, what happens is that dopamine is less. So what happens here is when we try to go, again, Parkinson's in an Ayurvedic aspect, when you say that, it's the problem would be the movement, right? So movement is always connected with vata, with the air component. It's always vata. So if we try to, the vata element is having properties like it's light in nature, it's unstable, it is cold impotency, it's stress. So if the so this wealth is getting increased over there. Right? These are the qualities of Vata, Dosha Vata. So if we try to bring down this one, that is, its life, its unsteady nature, its dry nature, so we will be giving therapy to the person to pacify this one. That is, to bring down the quality of one. That is, we will be giving oil massage. So the goal is that air is dry. This oilness is opposite to that one. And again, it is cold for them. So we will be giving oil medicated with hospital drugs. So it will again pacify Vata. And again, it is, and again, we will give it a steam bath, a medicated herbal steam bath. So that also helps to bring down Vata. And again, and the one more thing is that it is unsteady. So we try to bring back steadiness. Okay. So when we apply the nature quality, which is opposite to the increased dosha, we can bring back this dosha to its balance. So also, the exposure of almost 21 days of therapy with asbestos is very common, but even it's a competitor to get sleep. So we mainly go with the Pachyperma therapy. In that, we'll be giving a Nuha Basti, Basti treatment. Among the Pachyperma, the Basti is the best treatment.
To Basti. Well, what is Basti?
Basti is, we can say that, it's medicated enema.
Right.
So it's full of, made out of decoction. Oil is a decoction oil combination, and this medicated Basti. And Basti is medicated enema. With this, we can pacify.
Continuing, you have told me about when some of your patients who were diabetic and how you could treat them. What kind of diabetes is in modern medicine, we give them insulin, right?
Yeah.
So what is the procedure in Ayurveda for that?
We will be trying to reintegrate the pancreas.
Yes.
So that they are able to produce insulin, and again enhancing the metabolic properties of the cells, so that the glucose, the excess glucose present in the blood, can be metabolized. Okay? So in that, mainly it comes with drugs. It's anti-diabetic drugs. Example, glucose, the very good anti-diabetic drug.
Right.
And in diet, we have to tell the person to include lots and lots of fruits and vegetables, which are bitter things.
Right.
Because bitter, because we can say that this diabetes is a metabolic disorder. They can agni is the place there, pitta.
Right.
Okay. So we have to pacify or regulate the pitta. So pitta, again,
the fire component.
Yes, a component related to the metabolism. So metabolism. Metabolism can be regulated by giving the person which will improve the metabolism. Pacifying the pitta component. To pacify the pitta component, bitter taste is very good. Bitter and sweet taste are good to regulate the pitta component. Okay? So in that, we can't just go with the sweet taste. So that the next is to go with the bitter. So we will be going with the bitter taste, and that's why this bitter gourd is a very good anti-diabetic. There are a lot of other medicines which are anti-diabetic in nature, and we can see that surprisingly they are of bitter taste.
Right. You may ask, as I realize an Indian system, why is it that not popular in other parts of the world, or why even in India it was not very popular until recently. So there is an answer to that. Of course, the Indian caste society prevented choice of occupation to a great extent, and many families kept their knowledge as a secret. So ordinary people were not always getting the right thing, what they needed to get. However, in the modern world, things are different. Now universities are there. People, irrespective of their God, religion, or other things are able to get degrees. So many modern doctors who learn Ayurveda are able to give the benefit of Ayurveda to people all over the world. So that is why now it is becoming popular and it is becoming accepted everywhere. And again, Ayurveda is friendly to the environment. That's another very important thing people must understand. So Vidya will explain it further. Environmental food, the sense of those Ayurvedic, you know, doctors,
yes,
had to be very careful in using, you know, plants and trees.
Yes.
Although they were there for saving lives, they had to be very, very careful. About that. Of course, in those days, you couldn't come across that stuff like Vidya, because in the past it was completely a male-dominated profession. No women doctors were there. So that is another good thing about modern scientific approach to knowledge. It is becoming free from gender bias. That's why you have the Vidya to explain to you all these things.
As you said, Ayurveda is so friendly, the truth. Because if we want to take a plant for medical purpose, we should pray the plant to forgive us for plucking.
Cutting down the tree,
yes,
right?
Cutting down the tree or plucking a plant for the meat and all the rest. We have to first ask its permission. We have to pray to God. And again, official beings were there to collect of the signs are there in the literature, the literature. The signs that we can collect these parts, beautiful signs to collect. Right? And again, we have to seek permission and we have to ask parties to them, and then we should promise them that we will replant.
Right. So that is very important, isn't it?
Yes. Replant
and have to get by himself, physically,
yes,
and mentally.
Right. So before plucking,
so this metaphysical aspect can teach us something, you know, to materialize as well, because we have to use natural resources carefully, right? So that is the lesson conveyed by this metaphysical aspect, isn't
because,
it?
Because, you know, Ayurveda says that we are an infinite research. We live in this universe and we are intimate reflection of everything.
Right.
We should not give any harm to be.
Right.
We should go, everyone should go
back. Yeah, we talk about Ayurvedic medicines available to people who use it. They do not have side effects. Again, another important problem we face today is that several diseases, new variants of diseases are drug resistant, for example. This is something which people are aware of. At the time of discovering penicillin, Dr. Sir Alexander Fleming had said that penicillin would become ineffective because of excessive and careless use. This again does not happen with Ayurvedic medicine. Why is it like that?
Because we are using the white tree. But right now what's happening is that they are bringing a lot of genetic mutation, and it's a plant that they are trying to make out new variants or variety, or they are bringing different species. But the thing is that what the wild variant or the wild variety of plant is doing, it's not able for the new variety.
Right. Again, it all becomes drug resistant to Ayurvedic drugs. Again, that is because we are not killing anything, isn't it? Killing microbes.
No, we are not killing the microbes. We are trying to increase or improve the self-healing mechanism of the body. It's a natural tendency that if we get a cut or a wound in our body, in the season of life, it gets healed.
Right.
It's a natural tendency. we get some problem or get a beneficial to the student body, we'll try to fight it.
Right.
So what I really tend to do is that we help to bring up the self-healing mechanism of the body, and the body itself will fight. So that's why we say that Ayurveda is a big slope. So it brings up the self-healing mechanism of the body, and the body itself is fighting to bring back normal. We are not feeling any microorganisms. If we do say that if we feel microorganisms there, one day these microorganisms also become struggling. I already said. But that's what happens, because the medicine what we were using 5,000 years back is so new.
How do we make Ayurvedic medicine? That's again another interesting thing that we would like to know.
Right.
What kind of access do we do? Is it purely based on plants and trees, or do we use...
Ayurveda, which is plants, animal products, right? Plant products, animal products, minerals, and all the products. And in the plant products, can you remove the leaves, bark, resin, gum, whatever it is. All these products. Or even the camp food, we can say that Google, what is it? It's a gum medicine, a plant. And the Google is one of the anti-arthritic medicines used widely. And again, we use the flower pot. And again, that's a symptom to the plant. And then the animal products, we use to synthesize animal feed. Prepare medicine, and again we came across the terms like Parkinson. In Parkinson, we use one preparation made of mango.
Right.
It's made of mango, very good to treat Parkinson. And again,
do we use native mango or what?
Yes,
right.
It's used. And again, we use both, similar to human flesh. So we use that, and again, it's used mainly nourishing therapy. Especially the paralysis and all, the knowledge of the muscles and all. So,
honey.
We use honey. We use all these are animal products. And again, we use minerals. We can definitely, it's one of the most strong minerals, mercury. And we have a bronze, arsenic is there. And
antimony. And among minerals, we use sulfur.
Sulfur is very good to treat Hindus. Such as sulfur. But the purification part of metals is very, very important. Very, very important.
Right. That's what our listeners would like to know then. Unless they are purified, you said that they will be taken.
Yeah, otherwise, we will fight. Even lead can be used as a medicine, but it should be purified crop.
Right.
We can use lead.
And I think we have to explain it. You know, for example, they are very good to the Western world. And if they find lead or arsenic in it,
that means the purification.
Yeah. After purification.
Yes.
How can they find out that
we have a different type of testing method, to make sure that they don't have it. Three metal or mineral
substances. So you say give it to a rat, for example, that arsenic will not kill the rat.
No,
it is purified.
No.
Okay, so that is how we can test.
Very, very safe. But the thing is that there are a lot of do's and don'ts that we have to follow while they are administering the test. So we have to go strictly with the instruction of the physician. If we just make some mistakes in that do's and don'ts, then it will be.
And again, our listeners will be interested to know that there is life-saving property in everything. All of you may have heard of Buddha. Buddhism is it's a world religion, you are aware. And Buddha talked about a man called Jivaka. Right? Vidya also knows the story. I have read it from there. And after finishing his studies, it was time for Sri Prabhupada to give his master, his guru, the offering which every disciple was bound to give. But then Sri Prabhupada asked his master, what he could give him as an offering. The master gave his disciple a tough test. He said that Sri Prabhupada could find out a plant which has no medicinal value. Am I right? Yeah. And when he said that, Sri Prabhupada wandered for more than a couple of years around the famous universities of Nalanda and Takshila, right? Takshila, in southern Bihar, but he could not find out. Then he approached his master and said that he was unable to do the offering, but the master became very happy. You know what the master said? Oh, my boy, now you have studied medicine very well. So what he meant was that there is life-saving property in everything. With the right, the physician with the right kind of knowledge must know where to use, when to use, where to use, and how to use everything available in nature. Then you see, in those days, it's only here, anyway, and all this is where men. And this is the key. And it is that was the next. That people can learn from this market, right?
Yeah.
So that is the thing. So now Ayurveda is becoming popular everywhere. Many people in the Western world are now coming to India, particularly to our state. We are from the southern Indian state of Kerala, although now we are here in Delhi, the Indian capital, which is in the north. Why do so many people come to Kerala in particular for people? That's again something you would like to know.
If Ayurveda has origin in northern part of India, it's widely practiced in Kerala with its full attention. Because the Ashtavaidya tradition, there is eight vices. The Ashtavaidya tradition, the eight vices, they have practiced Ayurveda full attention and it developed Ayurveda to give its highest potential. So that's why, because in northern India, they mainly focus on the treatment but in South India, it is focused on the treatment of the main Panchkarma therapy. Kerala has developed its own style of
Punjabi style, right?
Five purification, five purification of words. Or five stuff. So that's why Kerala is considered as the hub of traditional items. That's why people do come to Kerala and try to learn that they have four purification.
I think when we speak about Ayurveda to our listeners, particularly those of our listeners in the United States, we must share something what Britain is doing, right? Britain is again one a country which is playing a key position in modern medicine. They have made a lot of discoveries and invents, and obviously, British hospitals certainly enjoy international today. However, they have accepted Ayurveda, and of course now there is the Council of Ayurveda. Even in other European countries, it produced some restrictions on some Ayurvedic products. Britain is had to keep out of that. There is banned these drugs because they have found out many of them are excellent, so they are not harmful at all. So that is, again, a good thing that you must understand. Again, Britain is a country in which the first ever PP program in Ayurveda outside India came into the Thames Valley University and an Ayurvedic hospital jointly produced a program way back in 2000. At the time I was there doing my journalism program at the London College of Printing in the United Kingdom. And So this, so how Ayurveda is now gaining practices everywhere, slowly but steadily, as we have said earlier. However, licensing restrictions make it difficult for people to get it in many parts of the world, including the United States. Right? But many Americans are coming to India for treatment. And from our next program onwards, we will introduce a good organization in the United States as our guest. We are going to introduce the California College of Ayurveda, which is in Los Angeles, in one of their members. We are trying to get as a guest on each of ourselves, so that they will also talk to you as how Americans are becoming interested in what Ayurveda can do. And again, I have listened to a lot of programs on the National Geographic and the Discovery television channels, saying that modern medical doctors have to learn many things from Ayurveda. There are modern doctors in the U.S. also who recognize the significance of Ayurveda. Right? Another important thing about Ayurveda you must know is that it is the only healthcare practice other than modern medicine to develop surgery, to develop a perfect surgical technique to intervene in taking human beings free from sicknesses from. So maybe I will explain about that.
You know, Swami, even the modern science says Maharishi Sushruta as father of the and he is even the modern medical science as considers him as father. And you know, in Ayurveda has developed the section of the body, section of the cadaver, well explained in Ayurvedic text. Right? So, some things, and even the instrument to be used, how it should be made, how it in the most,
Right.
Yes.
The modern.
And, yeah. In Ayurveda, they have developed very good instruments. And it is mentioned how these instruments to be made, out of what metal, and how these metals must be purified, and what should be the shape of the metal. Okay. All these, these metals resemble certain objects in the universe itself. Some instruments will be in the shape of a Honda, so that they can extract some defective parts into deep pieces, right? And again, some will be having the shape of a lion's mouth. Again, that is also good for extraction purpose. So we can see a resemblance between each element in the universe. So we can see that Ayurveda has a very good and well developed and even you know in Ayurveda even they have explained the method of craniosemi.
What?
Craniosemi is to be the how it is done.
Craniosemi
is done to extract a dead fetus.
Right.
From the uterus.
Right.
A dead fetus. So in that first we have to cut and remove the fetal head. So that is craniosemi. How it is done? It's explained to the IRA. And it's the doctor to give them the first.
Again, what many people think of only modern medicine when they speak about dentistry. It was also a practice in Ayurveda, wasn't it?
A practice in Ayurveda as well. You know, dental filling,
yes.
Is to be in Ayurveda. It was done with lax. The lax, it's It's an animal product obtained from lac insects. Lac and honey. Mixture of lac, honey, and jelly for dental fillings. It's an excellent dental filling there. Silver amount of
that's much better than what we use today.
Yes,
right? Yes. And again, I remember to have that something by an American doctor, the Dr. Joseph McCullough, that many Americans are still using mercury as a substitute with dental care. That was very harmful. I remember to have read it article from there, Dr. Joseph McCullough. And they put him for that. Can he say that this is a practice which has to be avoided with immediate effect? So then you said that if they go for ayurvedic filling, it's much healthier than, right?
Yes, of course.
More friendly to the environment.
Yes,
exactly. Right.
Healthy too.
Yes. Again, although Ayurveda is a science that is towards surgery, why was it that this is had were playing a more significant role than surgery in Ayurvedic treatment?
I think being a historian, Swami, you will be able to explain it more clearly than me.
Of course, you have. There is something you have.
Well, I think it will be nice to
hear. Yeah, that is mainly because there are two things.
Yes.
One is, of course, you are familiar. Although we had few things, all these surgical techniques and equipment, we did not have anesthesia, right?
Yes.
Am I not right?
Right.
So surgery was used only in very essential conditions.
Yes.
Okay. Right. As long as possible, there was surgery because anesthesia was not there. Right. Another major reason for the illness of Buddhism
is that was the thing.
Yes. That was the main thing, because even the story of anesthesia did not take place, perhaps because doctors preferred surgical intervention because of the emphasis of Buddhism on ahimsa, non injury, right?
Mm.
So they did not want to practice surgery. That was the reason.
Yes.
And anesthesia, of course, is something which is a contribution of modern medicine, and Ayurveda did not do. But again, you once told me that British doctors developed plastic surgery, and they owe much to Ayurvedic doctors for that.
This was brand new plastic, but
done
by Ayurvedic surgeons. Sutradhyaya,
right.
He did a brand new plastic, and that was the first cosmetic surgery
But again, the British doctors came across this thing thanks to the war with the Tipu Sultan. So the British soldier lost his nose, and an Ayurvedic doctor from Mysore in India repaired it, because he was a soldier and he lost his nose. So it was a reconstructive surgery, basically, wasn't it?
Yes.
So that is how the British came to drive out it and there developed it.
Huh.
Yes, cosmetic surgery, plastic surgery. So, having said all these things, our very doctors have some concerns as well, right? And obviously, you know that many doctors are now saying that our intellectual property rights must be protected. The doctors say that since there are a lot of side effects of modern medicine, Western herbal medical practitioners, the pharmaceutical industry, and even Western doctors are keen on imbibing the healing techniques of other cultures, right? So they come here, for example, to India, and then fill properties from a local Vaidya or a physician, and then they try to prepare their own medicine. There was some attempt on the part of the Japanese and American companies to get patents for some herbal products like that, and of course Indian doctors as well as scientists fought against patent applications, and they won, right?
Yeah.
one was the one was the
negative.
So what is this being used for?
Meat is widely used as a blood purifier. The blood purifier touches the meat. The meat is the bark can be used. The oil can be used. It's a very good water pass for our child. And again, the skin disease, especially with psoriasis. Where it's having excellent results with neem and turmeric. The combination of neem and turmeric is having a very, very good effective result. It's okay.
Right.
So that we consider this a very complicated disease, which is incurable. For the many important doctors to say that to patients, but you have to bear with this disease.
Right.
You have to survive your life. That's just, yeah, where I can do work once.
Sorry. Yes. So, and again, I read a question for treating various liver diseases as well. Are there?
Yes, liver diseases. And last week,
many viral diseases such as Yellow fever.
Yeah.
Although Indian diseases do not use the name Yellow fever. Right? And they don't take this. Between virus or bacteria, but of course, medicines are there to heal human body.
Malaria,
Corona.
Right.
With that Chinese name, for example, what is the Chinese name? Ginseng, yeah.
Is it similar to ashwagandha in Ayurveda?
Right. Ginseng is a Chinese name, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. But it is a product which is very widely used in India, in a plant product, right? Ashwagandha. It's a good aphrodisiac, right? And what are the other properties of this?
It's also anti-aphrodisiac.
Right.
That is white light.
Right.
Anti-depressant.
Right. Again, many. Yes. I think our time is up now, and of course, we will be with you next week, probably at 9 a.m. PST. That's a better time for us. And obviously, we will interview various diseases and how Ayurveda can cure them. And again, we will also discuss other properties, as I said, the diagnostic properties, preventive properties, curative properties, then rejuvenate and cosmetic properties of Ayurveda. It's a wonder. You can certainly approach us at any time. So you will get all the necessary information from PBS Radio, and then we will be with you again. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.